Well, it'd be really helpful if you could keep your Bibles open at that passage. And there are going to be some pictures up on the screen, so please feel free to move if you can't quite see them and need to. So let's just pray together. Father God, we thank you for your love for us. And we pray that you would help us to understand some more of it this morning. Amen. Now, I think I can be pretty confident that none of us chose our parents. Ronnie, who's been baptized today, didn't choose Ruth and Phil as his mum and dad. Although, if he had have, I'm sure we would be saying that he'd made a pretty good choice. We can't choose our parents, and we can't avoid being like them. Some of us might wish that things could be different, that perhaps you hadn't inherited your dad's nose or your mum's weird toenail. Perhaps in your family you can see family likeness. When a baby is born, someone will say, ooh, they're the spitting image of Uncle Fred. Or as they get a bit older, they've got wavy hair just like their mum. I've got some pictures of some famous families where you can see the family likeness. Here's the first one. You would guess that they're part of the same family, wouldn't you? Here's the next one, the Peppa Pig family. It's pretty clear. And then the third one, that's a picture of Princess Diana, and that's her father when he was much younger. And you can certainly see the family likeness, can't you? When my children were small, I couldn't particularly see myself physically in them at all. But I have been able to spot my temperament and my character in them as they've got older. We can't escape family likeness. Some of it happens because of simply spending lots of time together, lots of eye contact and copying facial expressions. And then over time, people are attuned to each other and resemble each other. It's really interesting that it's often the case that adopted children come to look like the family that they've been adopted into. Now, what's perhaps more worrying is that the family likeness can extend to the owner and their dog. This is my son a few years ago in an attempt to sit like the dog. And then there's a few, there's this one and another one. And then this third one's great. In all these cases, likeness is the proof of a relationship. And what we accept as part of our lives in a physical way, John in our reading today applies to our spiritual life, in our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. Our likeness to Him is our proof of our relationship with Him. So let's look at what it means if we say we are God's children. We're going to think about it under two headings: a new kind of love and a new way of life. So firstly, a new kind of love. Verse 1 said, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." To be God's child is to have a relationship with God the Father, to know His love for you, a new kind of love. God's love is radically different from all other types of love. And the early Christians had to find a new word to talk about it. And they found the word agape, which is a love that makes sacrifices, that is unconditional, that does not require someone being deserving or lovable themselves. And the language here in our reading is, wow, take a look and see just how much our Heavenly Father loves us. It's about needing to take time to let it sink into the depths of who we are and to think about that love. It's meant to take our breath away, to amaze us. The original words have got the sense of being in a foreign country. It's a love that we are just not used to, like nothing we've ever come across before. And the key thing is that God's love is one He has lavished on us. He is generous and extravagant, and He's over the top in His love for us. He has showered us with His love. When children come to be baptized, as Ronnie has today, It's a great picture of God's love because Ronnie has done nothing in his life yet that might be seen as being deserving of God's love. He hasn't worked hard at school yet. He hasn't spent all his life going to church. And he reminds us, as Jesus said, that we are to come to God in our helplessness as little children. He loves us because he loves us. Though we have done little to deserve it, and lots that means we can never deserve it. And his love longs to welcome us into the family. He gives us a new name. We are God's children. And a new position because we are God's children. We're not just called the children of God, John writes. That is what we are. It's reality and a bit like the picture of adoption. In Roman law and in ours today, a child adopted into a new family has all the rights and privileges of a birth child. It's as if he or she was born into that family in the beginning. The new parents long to love and to give. And the same is true of God, who chose to love us before we could do a thing. A love that meant that Jesus laid down his life for us to bring us into the family of God. It's a new kind of love. It's unconditional and it can be hard to accept. It may be that some of us here haven't known a love like that in any other relationship. Perhaps your childhood was marked by needing to gain approval all the time. Love seemed to be linked with achievement or success, and there were high expectations that left you unsure that you were truly accepted. And it's really easy for us to see our relationship with God through that lens. If you don't consider yourself a Christian here today, take the time to look into God's love and see how great it is for you as you are. And if you do consider yourself a Christian here today, take the time to look into God's love and accept it again. I wonder how much of our Christian activity is about trying to persuade God to love us, to prove to ourselves and others that we're good enough and that he will bless us because we've put in so much effort. It's our relationship with our Heavenly Father that matters most. Who we are as his child is far more important than what we do. He lavishes his love on his children, and we can never earn that love. And it helps us, John says, to cope with some things. It says that we can cope with those things that we don't yet know because we know God's love. Verse 2 says, we are children of God, but what we will be, we don't yet know. We don't know all the details of what the future will be like at the end of time, but we do know that Jesus is coming and that when he appears, we shall see him as he is and we shall be like him. We will have the complete family likeness. We shall be like Jesus. And because we are the children of God and loved by him, it helps us to cope with the world around us when it's hostile. The world does not know us, John says, because it has no idea who God is or what he is up to. Misunderstanding at home, at work, at school is not surprising because the world does not know God or know of his love. And of course, it's our job to make that known. God showers us with a new kind of love. It's so great that we are called and we are God's children. It is undeserved and perfect for you as you are, yet it desires that you grow in the family likeness. So there's a new kind of love, and that leads to a new way of life. Verse 3 says that everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And that word purifies is in the present tense. It's a continuous process and will always be. We will never reach a stage in life when we no longer need to stop growing in the family likeness. The new relationship that we have with our Father God will show itself in how we live. Now, years ago, this happened to me. My car was stolen off our drive in the middle of the night. It was very weird waking up in the morning to discover the car had gone. And then a little while ago, this happened to me. Beth and I, my daughter and I, we'd gone shopping in Reading, and I couldn't find the way into the Oracle car park. A couple of weeks later, I got a penalty charge notice for driving down a bus lane. Now, both those examples are breaking the law. One, in full knowledge of doing so. The other, without realizing. And then there are other ways of sinning, those tests that John has given by which we can know if we know God. We fail to do what is right, and we fail to love one another. Jesus had no sin in him, but he appeared so that he might take away our sins on the cross. And because of that, we are to live a new way of life. Do I know God? Am I living in him? The answer to that question is, do I keep on sinning? Do I reflect the family likeness? Am I living a new way of life? There may have been key moments in your life and on your Christian journey, and today is one such day for Ronnie, and perhaps it makes you think about your baptism. But John asks, do you keep on sinning? Because if you do, you have not yet seen or known Jesus. Now, what we also need to hear is he is clear that Christians do sin. What he is talking about is our habit of life, whether we avoid sin, whether we seek forgiveness when we step out of line, and whether we live in a way that acknowledges that a change in life is needed. Today, God offers us a new kind of love. He wants you to be his child and know him as your father. And for that love to touch you so much and so deeply that your only response is to lead a new way of life. Let's pray together. Lord, would you please help us to say wow, to look and see how much you have loved us. And would you help us to allow your love to change us and to change who we are and how we live. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.